Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
And so, it was two people, and they were talking about how this has been a horrible year for them. And I get it. You know, it's been a rough year, right? Has it been horrible? Some are like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. I think horrible rests in your idea and definition of horrible, right? And some of the things that have happened to you. So this one person in the conversation, she was talking about how she was wanting to go back to church. And I'm like, yeah, this is my kind of conversation. This is a good moment, right? Well, the friend said, why in the world would you do that? And this other person began to talk about how when she was young, she had actually been saved twice and baptized once, and she remembered those days, and she was kind of almost wanting to be excited about it and the way that that had worked out in her life. But somehow she just kind of, over time, you know how it is, you kind of walk away from those moments of our life. And this other person was like, I don't get it. Why would you mess with that? What good is that going to do for you? And she began to talk about how it transformed her life into something very different. Now, I think that as we go through this, here's the reality. That as we await this big, massive transformation that we're all waiting on, God is still doing those little moments of transformation in your life. You may not have it all figured out, and that's okay. You know what the amazing part of the story is? You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to be in total control for all of this to work out for you. That's hard for me to say because I'm a control freak. Right, I have to be in control. It's just part of who I am and part of my life. And if I'm not in control, then I get confused and I begin to struggle and I get lost sometimes. But I think in those moments of us being out of control is just a little moment, an opportunity for Jesus to transform something in our life and make it new. But here's my point to that original story. If this year, if it has been easy for you to simply walk away from your faith during COVID-19, were you truly practicing Christianity for the right reasons? Now, I say this because I could tell you this right now. There are people that used to go to churches, not just here, but churches across the nation that are not going anymore. And they're not watching anymore. They're not participating anymore. It was so easy for them to get up out of their seat or out of their pew and stay home in their PJs and do nothing while they were there. That's the world in which we live. I don't know. I get it. It's tough, right? But maybe, just maybe, you weren't practicing Christianity in the right way for the right reasons. You ever heard the phrase, practice makes perfect? Right? We have generations upon generations of people practicing Christianity that aren't practicing anymore. So if practice in Christianity doesn't make it perfect, what makes it perfect? I've been wrestling with that question all week. And I have to be honest with you, I'm not sure I have a solid answer. And here's the reason. Unless we're transformed by Christ to love the church. In a way, you could say that those that have left the faith, that practiced over years and years and years, they were transformed by Christ to leave the church? Or are we questioning that transformation? I don't know if you noticed the sign out here or not, but it has some Latin on it. Anyone have any trouble reading it as they came in? Yeah, kind of confusing, wasn't it? Non sum qualis erum. That is the Latin phrase, and it is this: I am not what I used to be. How many of you in this room today and listening in Facebook and YouTube land are actually happy that you're not what you used to be? Amen? See, that's the reality, isn't it? We are so thankful that we're not what we used to be. Because if we are, then nothing has been transformed in our life. Nothing has been changed, and we're just the same. But today, we stand here together in this room praising God that we are different. We are transformed by Christ. Now, if you look at our webpage, one of the phrases that's on there is transformed by Christ to transform the world. What I want to start doing in this year is evaluating those very things. Are we truly transforming our world? But primarily, are we transformed by Christ? See, there's a mission statement to that, and the action part of it. We are transformed by Christ to transform the world. The other thing you'll find in our statement is that we are a body of believers in Christ who diligently desire to be transformed into mature disciples, grounded in the Bible, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do something. To worship God, to advance Christ's mission, to reflect His character, and offer hope and help to our community and our world. Are we doing those things? Or what are we trying to accomplish? That is the question, isn't it? So, with that in mind, I want to direct your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is our text, and hopefully this will be pretty much second knowledge for you, that you will figure this out. But the first thing that we need to know is that we are transformed by Christ. When we are transformed by Christ, we are letters of recommendation to the world. You see, the world is looking at your life. Whether you believe it or not, the world is looking to you for something different. You ever written a letter of recommendation? No. I've written tons of them over my years. And one of the things that you always try to do is kind of salt and pepper a letter of recommendation. You try and give the best picture possible without them thinking that you're perfect. Their candidate is perfect, right? You try and leave something in there for them to grow into in this new career field, this recommendation that you're giving them. And so you're always trying to do something different, but Christ is talking about something here in this text, and Paul brings this to mind in verse 2. He says, "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all." That says something powerful about the way you live your life. Think about what Paul is talking about here to the Corinthian church. He's saying, "You are our letter of recommendation to the people around you." What's he truly saying? The way you live your life, your actions, the way that you operate in your life makes a difference to other people. Now, I get it. We're not all perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to slide a little bit, but the question is, do people understand what is written on your heart? Because if people are not seeing the love of Christ in a very real and tangible way, they're going to question your transformation, and they're going to read your life differently than what you hope it to be. You ever read a book? Anyone ever read a book? Okay. Pretty simple, right? I like books with pictures and big print. And okay, it's just the way I am. Yeah, exactly. How many of you have ever started a book at the last chapter? What? Two of us are, okay, a couple of us are, you know, on board with that. In college, I became a master of skimming textbooks. All of my professors are probably listening to this, and I'm probably going to get in trouble, but I did not read 100% of the textbooks they gave me. How many of you have ever read 100% of a textbook? Thank you. That's my point. You learn to skim and pick up the things that are important, and you learn how to process those. I am a master skimmer at all of those things. I love doing that. And sometimes I'll even go to the last chapter. But you know what's interesting? If you truly want to find out what a book is all about, where do you start?
Cover.
At the cover? The back of the book. Okay? Or you start somewhere else. A table of contents, right? You have to figure out what this is all about. And these people in this text, they are saying your life is being read by those around you. Listen, I have failed over and over and over again when it comes to talking to people and when it comes to being around people, and failed showing the love of Christ. I know you have too. We've all done it. But that doesn't excuse us from the moment of recognizing and allowing people to see that Jesus Christ is written on our hearts. We're living a transformed life that is to be known and read by the world. I think that's why I like part of our mission statement is simply to bring forth Christ's mission to the world. That's what we're called to do. I think it's important to see our lives in this text as a love letter that is indestructible, and it brings about this heart change like we've never seen before. Secondly, look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is a tough one for me. Having been in the church for years and years and years, I understand the difference between religion and faith. Religion and faith. It's for so long, when you've been in this, it seems like it can be ritualistic, and we hear that all the time. Why would I want to go to church and just do the same thing over and over and over again? Here's the problem: the letter of the law versus the letter of the Spirit. Are we practicing this just because it's what we've always done? We've always done it that way? Or is it something special to us? Is this a moment where we come together in the church and we love Christ? We love how He has changed us. He has written that letter of recommendation in our lives, and we are moving forward in the Spirit. Because if you're here just to practice the letter of the law and get that check mark for your attendance, you're missing the point. If you're not here practicing the letter of the Spirit, you are failing in your faith. Religion versus faith is the point. Do we claim to hold on to this church because it's four walls and a roof? Or are we holding on to this church because it's part of our faith? It's the primary way for us to express who we are and join in those who are like-minded and have the love of Christ written on their hearts. That's why we're here. It's the letter of the law versus the letter of the Spirit. And then third, when transformed by Christ, we no longer have to hide who we are. That's a scary thought, isn't it? That when we're transformed by Christ, we no longer have to hide who we are. You can be honest about who you are. You can be honest about your failures, the way that you've continued to struggle over and over again. You can be honest that simply says, I don't have it all figured out, but I know who does. I understand who loves us. I understand the very love of Christ. Look at verse 18. He says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, that might be kind of confusing because he uses a phrase, with unveiled faith. Now, or unveiled face. One of the things you might do is take a look at the rest of that text, because he spends a great deal of time talking about the way that Moses covered his face with a veil. The way that he did that so no one would see his imperfections, that no one would see him, that they would only see the glory of God. And he says, we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Now, what I would do is, if I was you, I would underline that being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. How many of us are all on the same page? How many of us are all on the same level in our faith journey? I think that's what he's talking about, that one degree of glory to another. It's a journey, it's a faith walk, and he's challenging us each and every day to take that next step, take that next step, keep going, keep fighting, keep working, keep going on this journey with God. But how many times do we sit there behind the veil and we don't let people in? See, that's part of our story too. We feel like somehow we have to put on this show to be different than everyone else, that we have to be these perfect, fixed, established Christians, when all that Christ is calling us towards is something honest, something real, something that says he has transformed us into this. I think that's where most people are today, if we're honest with ourselves. That most of us are probably struggling with some sort of wanting to hide who we are, because we're not proud of it, because we're struggling with something, because we're failing at something, because we forgot who our first love was. If we're allowing ourselves to be transformed in this moment, and we are accepting that letter of recommendation, that love letter that is indestructible, that brings about that heart change, and if we are recognizing the difference between the letter of the law and the letter of the Spirit, then we must accept that transformation that comes from Christ, and it removes that veil. If you remember, as Jesus Christ was crucified, what happened to the veil? The curtain that was torn in the temple, it shredded itself. It was torn in two, and people could finally see through that veil, and they could see what was written on your hearts. They could see the differences in your life. They could see the way that God transforms you and changes you every day, and yet we somehow fail to grab a hold of that because we're so comfortable living in that past, not accepting that heart change that only comes from Christ. And all Christ is doing is standing there saying, love me because I love you the most. I want the best for you. I want to transform you into that perfect being who loves me. Will you rip that veil from your face? And will you allow the glory of God to be shown in your life? It doesn't mean that your life is perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. You're going to fall short of the glory of God. But the difference is that we recognize how God has transformed us by the very image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are moving from one degree of glory to another. And it only comes when we follow Jesus Christ and we live every day transforming ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's who we are. That's the power that we have. That's why we seek to transform ourselves by Christ, to transform the world. It is Christ's mission, therefore it is our mission. How do we do that? Very simply. I think we must worship God first and foremost. If we are failing at that, we aren't doing ourselves any good. You see, I want you to look at this as horizontal and vertical. You know the difference? Okay, it's like giving direction to some people. You can't go north, south, east, and west. You have to go Walmart, McDonald's, right? Okay. So here we are. We're talking about this transformation that goes vertical. And that is worshiping God. That is our transforming moment when we're praising God and we're honoring His work in our lives. And then you move on to this advancing Christ's mission, which is transforming the world by His love, by His sacrifice. And that's the horizontal. We're reflecting His character, which is vertical and horizontal, because when you are reflecting His character, you've already accepted that transformation in your life, and it begins to flow out and through you. We offer hope and help. That is a horizontal to our community and to the world. That's who we are as Central Park. I hope and pray that you're allowing that moment of God to transform something and renew something in your life. Are you allowing God to work through you and transform you and provide that letter of recommendation in your life? Because if you're not, are you truly allowing Him to work in you, on you, and through you? Perhaps you're here today and you're questioning the actual reason why you're here today. Maybe you've been coming here because it's where you've always gone to church. Maybe you've been brought here for some new reason and you haven't quite figured it out yet. Maybe you're up this morning and watching on Facebook or YouTube and you're beginning to question that love letter that was given to you. Maybe it's time for you to simply say, I'm no longer going to walk away. That this past year is no reason for me to lay down my faith and give up. Maybe you're here today and you're questioning that difference between religion and faith. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just simply asking God for prayer. You're giving it all to Him and you're saying, God, transform me by Christ and allow me to show the real me to the world. Whatever that need is, whatever challenges you're facing in your life, won't you allow Christ to work that out for you? Because here's the shocker, okay? And this might come as a surprise to you, okay? Don't faint, don't get frustrated, don't get angry when I say this, but you're not perfect. Okay? Even if you believe you're perfect, you know what? You're not. I'm not even perfect, and that's hard for me to say. Okay? It just is. We're not perfect. We're fallible. but we serve an infallible God who transforms us every day. And he says this to you, I can deliver you. I can change you. I can transform you. Won't you allow Jesus Christ to transform you today? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you today acknowledging your love, acknowledging the way that you have already written that letter of recommendation, and all we need to do is accept it. And we need to remove that veil and simply worship you and let people see you. Father, forgive us when we failed you. Forgive us when we went astray. Forgive us for our failures and our sins. And today we acknowledge those, Father, and we recommit this new year to transforming by Christ and transforming the world. We recommit to worshiping and praising you and sharing your love with those around us. For we need you in our lives. No more is this about a ritualistic ideal. No more is this simply about, the stuff. But it's about the letter of the Spirit, not the letter of the law. Today, we truly accept you in our hearts and we move forward boldly proclaiming your name. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to change us, to die on the cross that we might have life everlasting. It's in his name we pray. Amen.